And welcome to Chimp Out Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is show number 15. Thank you once again for joining us for another radio show. I am your co-host, Not Nice, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Burman. Burman, welcome once again to Chimp Out Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening. We're just chugging right along like a train that we are and bringing on new stuff, so... Thanks to Brewski for creating our new Chimp Out logo. He spent like a couple hours on MS Paint doing it. It's so right. Silly, yet it's so right. So congratulations to Brewski for winning our official logo contest.
Yeah, I mean, hey, and it was a tough choice because we had a lot of great submissions for the logo contest. Any one of the submissions could have been a logo for our show. Any of them would have worked and would have been great, but we all had to vote and pick the best one, and well, Brewski won, and congratulations again. It's funny and well made and just kind of illustrates the soul of the show, you know, with the drinking and it's made on MS Paint, so it kind of also conveys
low
the
budget.
Yeah, the sort of the spirit of the show kind of made in a less than a shoestring. I mean, this doesn't really cost a whole lot, if anything. I mean, the biggest expense involved with this show is probably the booze, and, well, we would have that anyway.
Yeah, so, we'd have that anyway, so at least we're doing something productive here.
Well, yeah, you know, we're not just sitting here drinking. No, we're doing this as well, I guess, let's put it this way. When you have a job, let's say you work, well, you have tools. You know, you may have actual manual tools, or you may use a computer for your work. Well, these are our tools. Beer, wine, vodka, mojitos.
That's what I'm drinking tonight.
Yeah. I'm actually breaking character and having some Coors Light rather than some wine, because it's hot, and I just wanted a cold beer, and you know, I'm just having some beer. And I think I'm allowed to do that, so, you know, hopefully this won't cause some kind of backlash. Because I'm breaking a radio tradition,
but at least it's
yeah. What am I saying? Who gives a shit? But we got a loaded show here tonight. We got, of course, the usual hilarious news stories, and we're also going to have a special guest in the second half of the show. But we're not going to let the cat out of the bag until we get there. But believe me, you're going to love this or be horrified by it. But either way,
yeah, it depends on who you are.
Depends on who you are, and. How much of a sense of humor you have, I guess. But let's go first to the news stories, Birdman. We got a few stories to talk about here tonight. And the first one, I believe, is, well, it's from Africa. And
of course.
I got to admit, I shouldn't be surprised by anything niggers do anymore. And yet, something always comes along that makes me shake my head and put my palm to my forehead and say, fucking niggers. And this is one of those. So, Burman, if you'll do the honors and introduce this story.
Excuse me. Chad, that Central African sweatbox desert shithole known as Chad, some of the niggers there enjoy drinking blood. We be vampires and shit. Yeah. Okay, to quote one of the so-called vampires, no disrespect to our good friend Vampire Arkmeal, who is a member here.
Yeah, but, sure he is.
The taste is good, a bit like liver. I really like it, said James, a Saturday morning drinker. So what's so important about it, whatever time or day that he drinks blood? I suppose it doesn't sound very good to be associated with sucking blood, but I really don't care. Perhaps it'll get me the strength of a vampire and shit. That's pretty much the story.
So basically, niggers and Chad being one of the most backward countries, even by African standards,
yes.
niggers are apparently staging their own impromptu version of the movie Twilight, and deciding to drink blood for God knows what reason. I guess they're going so hungry, they're starting to drink in blood now.
I figure they just got tired of the mud pies and the Jankum, and they just wanted to try something different. Nothing really grows in Chad, you know, and they don't really try to grow anything. They pretty much resort to war and cannibalism, and now, as it's apparent, they're drinking the blood of, I guess, other Negroes or niggers, as we call them.
See, I mean, I wonder, though, if they're drinking blood, I guess this technically makes them vampires, are they going to start, like, listening to The Cure and, like, wearing trench coats and, you know, just hanging out at goth bars, anything like
maybe
that?
Maybe they're now over in the middle of Africa, you know, on their donated cassette players, I guess, that they have over there, running by a car battery, running on a car battery. I guess they have tapes of some of the new emo stuff, the emotional goth punk kind of stuff that's out now, where, you know, the whole emo thing is pretty douchebaggery already, but maybe they're just, nah, they're not. They're niggers. They're banging on bongo drums, they're swinging from trees, throwing coconuts at each other. Shooting AK-47s into the air for no reason whatsoever.
So I guess not. Yeah, I guess they're not really goth. They're just insane niggers. You know, let's say if you live in Africa and you know, in a continent where AIDS is rampant, do you really want to be drinking human blood or nigger blood in this case?
Well, yeah. If you have one stomach ulcer or one little pinhole on your stomach there that causes stomach problems, I mean, you're going to drink the AIDS-infected blood or the malaria-infected blood or the yellow fever. You know, all the diseases of Africa, there's plenty of them. And you can actually absorb that through your stomach. And
yeah, if you drink blood, which is in Africa, certainly, essentially a cocktail of diseases, you know, you might as well just inject the AIDS virus straight into your veins. So I can imagine these niggers going to, like, the United Nations clinic in their village, you know, to the YT doctors and saying, you know, I don't know why I got AIDS and shit. And the doctors would probably say, well, because you were drinking blood.
No, they didn't tell me that I could get it that way. They only told me because I've been butt-fucking Leroy for the last 5 months.
It's just some witchcraft and shit. It ain't got nothing to do with blood. So then they go out. Then they have to go out and rape an infant to cure themselves of AIDS, and they go through all that hassle.
And maybe hire a witch doctor for a couple mud pies. Hire a witch doctor to cure you. Give you some ground up plant roots that are in the soil. Who knows?
It's a hassle. You know, today's busy, starving nigger doesn't have time for that stuff. Because
they're
real go-getters.
They're very much multitaskers, if you think about it. They can get AIDS now three different ways.
Now, yeah, I mean, they can, at this point, let's see, they can get AIDS from drugs, from addicting, from drinking blood. Eventually, they'll develop entirely new ways of getting AIDS. Like, they'll figure out how to get AIDS from, I don't know, from sneezing, right? Who knows? But, hey, more power to them with the blood drinking. I mean, it's Chad. Who gives a shit? So.
Okay, moving right along here. We always run long on the Africa stories because it's just so funny. And I know all our enemies out there who may or may not be listening to this show, how could you say such a thing about noble Africa? No. Africa is a shithole. It always will be a shithole as long as niggers run the place.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But it's too bad they can't see the humor in it like we can, but whatever. I guess we'll move on to somewhat less disgusting pastures. What's our next story, Birdman?
Yeah, we talked about this on the last show, and, you know, the news, the MSN mainstream communist media is getting all butt hurt because the Latinos in Los Angeles County, California, are kicking out the niggers. I mean, can you blame them? I mean, we're not even talking gangbangers, really. We're just talking your average Latinos. Just they're not. They don't suffer from white guilt, so they're happy to, you know, give the niggers problems whenever it should please them. Story: Latinos run Negroes out of L.A. County of their homes because. And the county is paying unlimited hotel bills for these scared Negroes because apparently they're scared of these Mexicans that are breaking into their houses and spray painting nigger on the wall.
Well, hey, at least they know some English.
Well, the whole thing is decent, hardworking Latinos can't stand useless niggers, and the story goes as this. Happy to have found a place near her salon in Altadena. Forgive my Spanish here, please. And close to her fiancé, of course, fiancé with four niglets running around. The 31-year-old hairdresser moved her four children from a North Hollywood nigger zone into the one-story charmer on Broach Avenue in Duarte last fall. The vandals had broken into their place and into a canvas for the six-letter word used for decades to scare and scar African Americans. Gee, I wonder what that six word is. Kramer, please tell us what that six-letter word is. Anyways.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, for a moment, though, I thought it might be maybe friend. I don't know. Or amigo. Well, amigo's Spanish, and it's five letters. Well, okay.
Okay.
I guess Kramer's right.
Yeah. Since the break-in, Davy and her four butt dumplings have lived in a hotel paid for by the County of Los Angeles. As she spoke, Kenny Johnson, who was 2 miles away, lugging green garbage bags down the sidewalk of the working-class neighborhood where his children once played, the father of three of Davy's children, of course the fourth one, she doesn't know who the baby daddy is, he had come to the house that morning with his brother and two friends to begin clearing away what belongings could be salvaged. Wary of disclosing the area in which she hopes to settle. I mean, it's really getting bad down there, isn't it? They're sick and tired of TNB down there, aren't they? Davy said the last two landlords she spoke with backed out at the last minute. Others have asked for deposits that she can't afford, of course. She works at a salon. Her fiancé of 21 years, who she has a bunch of butt dumplings.
Hold on. Fiancé of 21 years.
No, I just threw that number out, but you know it's true.
Well, I was going to say, not that I would have been surprised in the least, but it still would it'd still be hilarious if he'd actually, if this Sal was calling her her bug fiancé.
Here's what's happening in Los Angeles, and it's really quite amazing. The gangs are doing all the mestizo gangs are really doing all the hard work and doing the bad stuff to really scare the shit out of these niggers, and the hardworking Latinos who have regular jobs and they own property, they're starting to buy more property and more property and more property. And these Latino property owners see a nigger buck with four shitlets in tow coming there. She works in a salon. He hasn't worked in 50 years or whatever. And, they see this coming. They say, yeah, we want a $1,000 deposit. What you mean $1,000 deposit? I ain't got no $1,000. So, you know, if you really look at the whole situation, because the mainstream media in America here is having a collective shit fit over this. The Latinos in Los Angeles are winning, and the Negroes are losing.
Yeah, I mean, the media is apoplectic about this. They're just having fits because they don't know what to do. On the one hand, they, of course, they feel sorry or pretend to feel sorry for the Negroes and, oh, these poor niggers are being harassed by the Mexicans. But on the other hand, well, you have Mexicans. You can't really say they're bad and horrible and evil because, well, you don't want to be racist against
Mexicans.
Yeah,
they don't know what to
either.
Do with themselves.
So now, guess what? This whole political correctness trap has come full circle to bite them in the ass. And at this point, this I mean, this the story we've been talking about, you know, it basically it all hinges around some niggers moving into a house in Southern California, and they came to the house one morning, and it was covered in anti-nigger graffiti attributed to Latino gangs. And at this point, I don't think a lot of this is even being done by Latino gangs as such. It's just, I don't know, Mexican kids who don't like niggers, you know, and I just break into these niggers' houses and giving them a piece of their mind. So I don't think these were gangs. If they were gang members, they wouldn't have broken into graffiti the place. They would have broken in to shoot these spooks in the head.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is like really double pronged because as the legitimate law abiding Latinos in LA County are buying more and more property, the niggers are getting thrown out because the Latinos don't suffer from white guilt. Yeah. And the media won't hold them to that either. So the niggers are getting driven out, and the county of Los Angeles, being as communist as it is, and they are paying for hotels for these displaced niggers to live in.
Oh, and this is California, bankrupt California.
Yeah, they wonder why they're bankrupt.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, because some, you know, Latino kids who, you know, who were really, to my eyes, just playing a harmless prank, you know, went in and graffitied the stupid nigger's home. This somehow warrants the government having to pay for motels for these coons. Does California or LA County have no bigger problems than some spooks are upset because, you know, they were the target of a, you know, really a simple prank by some Mexican kids? You know, get over it, okay? Just go back to your fucking house, clean up the graffiti, and here's a suggestion. Be upstanding, law-abiding citizens, and you won't get your house graffitied, or
Wait,
worse.
How do we know that Section 8 isn't helping in the payment of this house that these niggers moved in? We don't.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe, I mean, if they're actually being given cash for these so-called motel rooms, who knows what they're spending it on?
Oh, you know, to buy brand new Air Jordans for little Jamal, who just joined the basketball team. Buy a crack for the fiance of 21 years. You know, buy new hairspray for your the hair salon that she supposedly works for. You know, it's all open.
And here's a suggestion to the niggers from, if I can be a conduit. For some of the Mexicans in Southern California and kind of speak for them. Niggers, the reason that you having such a hard time and everybody hates you is because, say, unlike the Mexicans, you don't get jobs, you don't get real jobs, and no aspiring rapper is not a real job, or, you know, getting your relatives' haircuts in your living room is not a real job. You know, having kids or being on welfare is not a real job, or, you know, collecting cans or shoplifting out of Walmart. You know what? A lot of Mexicans come here. They got no real education, little preparation. Yeah, they want jobs where they can just sit on their ass and, you know, and just do nothing all day. Well, guess what? Government jobs are kind of in short supply these days because of the recession. So you're going to have to go out and get some real jobs that produce some wealth like the Mexicans do. They go out and do things that people need done, you know. Things that need to be done and that produce wealth. You know, construction, landscaping, plumbing, electrician, things that actually, you know, that are actually jobs, not invented jobs, like aspiring rapper or graffiti artist or, you know, amateur hairdresser or whatever the fuck it is these spooks do.
Well, a hairdresser to a spook is just putting, like, a couple of bobby pins, some grease, and some Asian hair bought off the black market and just greasing it all up. You pay me $300 for that. Well, I only got $250 in food stamp. That cool. Just give me the food stamp. Know what I'm saying?
That's a white motherfucker.
That's the nigger hairdresser for you.
So there you have it. That's Southern California. So what else? What else do we have on tap, Birdman?
Alrighty. We have some dealings with a certain Buckeye nigger. It seems that, you know, there are a lot of stories about Buckeye niggers from Ohio. For some reason, they are particularly more feral than the average nigger. And this one is a real overachiever, let me tell you. 13-year-old nigger crime spree ends as Cleveland police step up to the plate. Investigators have arrested the person, or nigger, to be responsible for a crime spree on Cleveland's east side. And the suspect is a 13-year-old boy. The eighth grader who cannot read or write, this is true, faces 46 criminal charges, including burglary, theft, and criminal damaging. Police say the crimes were carried out while the suspect was supposed to be attending class at Margaret Spellacy School. And we wonder why he can't read and write. So he's busy robbing houses so he can steal whatever he can that isn't bolted down to, you know, sell it for crack or whatever. Pot that's laced with crack, you know. Those niggers like to smoke pot, too. Investigators said the teen broke into 17 houses the past few months. 17! All of them in the Collinwood neighborhood area where he lives. Police say he made up with cash, jewelry, TVs, and video games, of course. The young witness from one of the break-ins identified the boy who, let's face it, the average 13-year-old nigger is full-grown and ready to breed.
Yeah, this ain't a boy.
Yeah, this is no boy. Especially if he's facing 46 criminal charges. Councilman, local politician Mike Polinsek is now asking the same question that a lot of residents are. The same question asked on Chimp Out every single day. Where were the parents? Well, let's see. Not nice. Where do you think the parents were?
Let's see, where were the parents of a 13-year-old nigger who should have been in school? Where would the parents have been? Let me think. They might have been in one of several places. They might have been at the welfare office collecting their check. They might have been browsing the aisles at Family Dollar looking to see what they could steal off the racks. They might have been busy in the yard, you know, making some feces for their new batch of Jankum, or baking some crack in the oven. They could have been committing their own crimes. They might have been stealing shit out of some other houses in the neighborhood. They might have just been passed out on the couch all day, every day, you know, trying to sleep off the hangover from last night's King Cobra and Mad Dog 2020 binge. They could have been in many places, because let's face it, today's modern nigger is busy. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of 40s to drink, a lot of formaldehyde dip joints to smoke, a lot of people to kill and rape, a lot of government programs to defraud, a lot of tapings of Maury and Montel Williams to attend during the day instead of having jobs, a lot of hubcaps to steal. I mean, really, it's... I don't know how they keep track of all their stuff, you know, day to day.
It's really wide open. I mean, they wonder where the parents are. Hell, they could have been out doing 100 different things. I mean, maybe Mammy was out scoring, you know, scoring a John so she could get money to pay for her crack. I can almost guarantee you this 13-year-old teenager did not know who his father was. And never will. His father's been in prison, just the same prison that he's going to, for his 46 charges. And one final note on this story is his crimes were viewed as a failure of the Cleveland community and school system. They're blaming the community. Hillsley Betty Dopley said, "That baby is crying for help. I want to love him to death." No. Once again, this misguided community is feeling sorry for him when they should be locking him up for the next 25 to 30 years.
They want to love him to death. I agree with one word in that sentence. But there you go. Those of you who live in Cleveland... You know, there's a few humans living in Cleveland who may be listening to this. this junior nigger's crime spree, it's your fault. You failed, okay? You're horrible people, and you are to blame for this junior psychopath's actions. You know, you may be asking yourself, well, gee, what did I do? Well, I'll tell you what you did. You weren't supportive and loving and warm enough to this nigger monster. Show the nigger some love, and maybe they'll stop committing crimes. You think that'll work, Birdman, if we show him some love? Maybe that'll stop him?
Maybe if they would have taught him to read back these 13 years. I learned how to read when I was 4. So, kids different. You know, they vary differently from when they learn how to read. So
you gotta show the nigger some love. That means you gotta do things they, you know, show them things they like. Do things that they like to do, and reading is not gonna be one of them.
What I'm saying here, though, is this niglet is 13 years old and in the 8th grade. He cannot read or write. Why is he in the 8th grade? He should be in the 3rd grade. Maybe he'd be raping other, like, 3rd graders, but that's beside the point.
And that's a good point. How does a nigger who doesn't know how to read make it to the 8th grade?
Yeah.
What? Who missed what here? What happened here?
Well, I will give credit where due. I'm sure the kid knows how to count, like $20 for a crack rock and 50 cents equals $1 for food stamps, you know.
Well, see, when
maybe
it comes
he can
to...
do some basic things, and he knows how to pick locks, I guess.
You know what's funny, though, when it comes to, let's say, drugs, niggers suddenly become geniuses at the metric system and math. So it's like whenever they do have any kind of mathematical skills, they can only use them for evil. You know, they can't use it for anything else. But I don't know. Maybe it's just...
Well, I guess in prison, too, you know, you exchange three packs of cigarettes for your homie's bitch. You give your homie three packs, and you get the bitch for 1 hour. Three packs equals one. You know, something like that.
Yeah. Two bottles of Pruno equals one ass fucking, you know, stuff like that. So I'm sure they got their own system of alternative math in there that in its own way, you know, could even be considered brilliant. But that's the thing. Niggas are brilliant at stuff, at anything that's dysfunctional, destructive, disgusting, and awful. But never anything that's good.
I think it's time we should go end on that note and go to our musical break. How about that?
Yeah, I figure enough of the ranting here. We'll go ahead and go to musical break. And we'll come back with our guest for tonight. So stay tuned to Chimp Out Radio. And welcome back to Chimp Out Radio, folks. Thanks for staying with us. And well, as we promised on the first half of the show, we have a very special guest joining us here tonight on our show. It was a bit complicated to arrange to have him on. We had to have his attorney work out how we're going to bring him on, and we have to have him call collect from a certain institution. But Burman, I guess I should let you explain.
I was contacted by an email last week, you know, around that time, by an attorney, and he said that his client is currently incarcerated in Mount McGregor Correctional Institution, and he was just incarcerated, I believe, in April. But before then, he was quite popular on the nigger message boards, and he heard our show. Wow. And he insisted, through his attorney, to contact me and make arrangements to bring him on the air. And, you know, this is, like, too perfect to pass up. A serendipity moment here. But joining us from Mount McGregor Correctional Institution is Luther Spells. Hey, Luther, what do you have to say out of your big monkey mouth?
Yo, monkey mouth. I got a bird. I got a man, a bird man calling me a monkey mouth. Yeah, motherfuckers. I tell you what I got to say. I got to say about you racist motherfuckers. Put me here. Understand? Your injustice, racist motherfuckers put me away from my whole life for nothing. You got
All right, Luther, calm down a bit. Actually, are you incarcerated? What are the charges against you?
The alleged charges against me.
Yes, what are the alleged charges against you?
Well, I was forced to plead guilty, you understand, to avoid a jury trial, because you mother white racist jury trial up here. I'm up here all by myself. Ain't nobody. I ain't done nothing. They say aggravated rape, six counts.
So six counts. Only six counts.
Huh? Oh, but you didn't do nothing, right?
I didn't do nothing. Anybody else wouldn't have done.
Were you an aspiring rapper by any chance?
A poet. Yeah, I was going to get to that. He's not an aspiring rapper like every other nigger. He's a poet, and he's actually claims to be published.
Why you got to call me a nigger?
Because you are a nigger.
Why you got to call me a nigger? I ain't no fucking nigger. A bird. I got a fucking bird calling me a nigger. Who laughing back there? How many are I talking to?
That's me. No, that's just two people here. Two people and one monkey.
Two of you motherfuckers. Monkey. I got your monkey. Don't get me started on that shit, motherfucker.
So how is the prison... I kind of got a theory going here that so many niggers are in prison because they like the sex better in prison. So, how many bitches do you have there
Don't be going there. Now, you were sitting here where I'm sitting. You be doing the same damn thing. Don't be giving me no shit. Man got to do what a man got to do. You understand? Two figures in the night. Put to work their desires. Locked in so tight. Quietly burning fires. Brothers in arms. These unlikely two. Steel bars and concrete. A free love anew. Upon darkness they meet. Exchanging their valor. They sit in silence afterwards. In unjustified pallor. As that of a bird. Who has found his feather and met his flock devoid of tether. Luther Spells.
Wow. 2009. That's a beautiful poem.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. This is what I'm trying to say. Warmth of a Man by Luther Spells. Billie Jean was not my lover. Not you, how I will recover. I met the man and had his way. Blinded by what anyone might say. Beneath, between, betwixt, asunder. Nobody could withstand the thunder.
You do prefer
I took him
then.
Into my deepest voids. Don't interrupt me, motherfucker. I took him into my deepest voids, never knowing one could so enjoy inside a man so very well oiled and leaving to never be so soiled. Okay, now you can talk. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Make fun of me,
motherfucker. Let me see you do something. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Here's a poem from me. It's called Jury. We, the members of the jury, find you guilty on six counts of rape.
Well, that's a great poem. I didn't know you were such a poet, Burman.
Sit your ass in jail for the rest of your life, dumb.
Ha ha. All right, motherfucker, I'm laughing my ass off here. Ha 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 ha, motherfucker.
Now listen, Luther, is it true that you folks in Prissa and make your own liquor there. What do they call it? Pruno?
I don't know what you're talking about. Make my own liquor. What the fuck are you talking about over there? What do you know about being up here? Huh?
I don't know anything at all, actually. That's what I'm asking.
How many times you been in prison?
I've never been in prison. See, I try to be law-abiding, a productive citizen, and not enough.
I'm law-abiding. I didn't do nothing. You white racist motherfucking injustice motherfucking.
So when the police found you with that girl who apparently accidentally swallowed some bleach, would you tell us a little bit about that story?
Let me tell you something. They telling me they got the DNA and all this other shit, and I'm telling my lawyers, I'm telling my people. They ain't no way. Ain't no way they got my DNA off of nothing. I washed that bitch out. I rinsed her mouth out with so much fucking Clorox. They ain't no way they found even shit fucking teeth in there after I got done with it. So I don't hear any of this shit. I told them. You tell me.
So you actually did do it, right?
Did do what? I didn't do nothing. I wash her out. I washed the bitch out. I turn her upside down, pour her pussy so full of Clorox. Ain't nobody gonna find nothing in there. So don't be telling me you got my DNAs in there. You know what I'm saying?
So why were you washing her with bleach? Were you just trying to be helpful and just help her clean up?
I didn't do nothing.
Did her pussy stink? I mean, what was the problem there, Luke?
I don't gotta answer your question.
Called us. I mean, we're paying for this phone call, man. So speak up or forever now sit in prison, you know?
What do you think? You're with cops or something? You're going to interrogate me and shit?
You asked us to be on.
Well, I didn't ask nobody.
Did you? Well, I thought you, well, we should say it this way. You ax us to be on.
You people are making fun of me now. I ain't playing with this shit, you know what I'm saying? You know I ain't getting out of here, you know? So
I hope not. Yeah, I hope not.
You think you can say anything? Well, let me tell you something. I got some people up here. I mean, a very good chance I'll be out of here. So don't be counting your chickens. You know what I'm saying? They're bird boy. I fucking come down there. I pull every fucking feather out of you. Shove it right up your ass. How you like that?
So see.
Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
So you like chicken? I see.
He likes chickens. He likes.
Oh, come
guys.
On now. Who don't like chicken? Who don't like chicken? Give me a motherfucking break. You love that Kentucky Fried Chicken just as much as anybody else. Don't be giving me that shit. And barbecue. You like the barbecue. I know what's going on.
Well, how's the prison food? Is there any fried chicken or barbecue in there?
Ghosts of defiance. A passing wind untangles me in roots of higher ground. Of taking into custody and slipping out of bounds. I fight the tyranny of youth and struggle to outgrow it. I witness the barrage of truth and forcefully bestow it. But deep within my soul of souls, I dig for self-reliance and journey down into a hole to slay ghosts of defiance. Luther Spells, 2009.
Wow, I feel like I'm at a poetry
So you're
slam.
Actually attempting to publish your so-called poetry in prison to pay for your own defense, I assume. Yeah, you actually said...
There ain't going to be no defense, because when they can't come up with no DNA out of that bitch, you know... I'm just sitting here waiting to get out, you know.
A bottle of Clorox with your fingerprints on it, I think that'll pretty much put you away there, Luther.
Do you remember to wash the bottle of bleach with bleach?
You don't know nothing about my case. No, you don't know nothing.
I talked with your attorney for an hour this week. I mean, he's a pretty nice guy. I like the guy. He's Jewish guy.
He got no sense. I told him what to say. He said, I can't say that. He said, he's just as bad as the rest of you. He's a fucking racist motherfucker, just like every one of you. He want to see me sitting up here. Innocent man.
Well, I mean, you could get a black attorney, but they're all working in the Obama administration right now. I mean, so you pretty much have to hire a white attorney.
Well, yeah, he's not going to get a black attorney. He wants to get out of jail, not stay in.
Every brother I talk to, every brother I talked to didn't want nothing to do with me. I don't know why. They don't want to deal with me.
Yeah,
they're scared.
Yeah.
You know, they're scared because they know. You know, it's all racism and it's all. You know, why they gonna get all you boys all gonna get together? Get yourself a nice white jury, white judge, bunch of white lawyers gonna come in there. Put me away. I might as well just say goodbye to the world. I'm gonna be staying here for a long time. But let me tell you something. I got some friends up here. You know, we're talking. And I tell you what, I ain't fixing to stay here my whole life. I tell you that right now. They can think they're gonna keep me here, and they ain't gonna keep me down.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Are you going to pull off a Shawshank Redemption, as it's known?
What the fuck language are you talking about? Shaw watch that? Who?
Apparently.
Working man. I struggle to create, but others do take. My fashion is copied by group elite, and racist cover copies. Alas, my ideas
blah,
working
blah,
man.
Blah, blah, blah.
You interrupt me in the middle of a poem, motherfuckers. I swear to God, you don't know good fucking art when you hear it.
Well, we're not hearing any.
Yeah, I just bought Maya Angelou's latest book and used it as firewood this past winter.
Trash day. It's trash day in the neighborhood. Me and Lemuel, we take our walk. He points to where he laid her down and bit her clean pink gut. I lift the cover heavily. We toss the bags inside. We envy for her lifelessness beyond the walls she rides. Luther Spade.
Not nice. How much longer are we going to talk to this idiot?
Well, we got.
I talk you all night. I talk you all night, motherfuckers.
Well, you got nothing better to do. Of course, you'll talk to us all night. But we only got about 4 or 5 more minutes left. So, is there anything you want to share with the rest of our audience? Any plans you have for when you get out of prison?
Yeah.
Well, it don't look too good for me getting out. You know, the proper way. You know, with the law and you know, the escort and everything else. But if I can dig a hole, I'll get myself out of here. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll come and get you, motherfucking bird boy, whatever your name is.
You know what every other nigger in prison does? I mean, enjoy the 3 hots and a cot and get yourself a boyfriend that you can spend the rest of your life with.
Hey, no, it's a, ain't
convert
no boyfriend.
To Islam to impress the parole board.
Oh, don't be talking no Islam with me, motherfucker. I'm surrounded by these motherfucking Islam Muslim motherfuckers. You know what I'm telling you, I gotta throw bacon at them. I save my bacon for my breakfast every morning. I throw the bacon at them. The motherfuckers stay the hell away from Luther.
Well, Luther, when these Muslims, when they fuck you in the ass, do they make you face Mecca?
That ain't right. You boys just ain't right. There ain't nothing pleasant about being fucked in the ass.
We're also
There ain't nothing pleasant about being fucked in the ass. That's all I got to say. Ain't nothing pleasant about it. I don't care you're facing Mecca or Atlanta. Well, you ain't having a good time, you know.
Well,
but a man got to do what a man got to do.
Well, once you get broken in, I mean, doesn't it get better or easier?
You don't want to be down there on the floor all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, you won't get a few licks in yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know.
I'm sure you do. So.
Yeah, hey, a man got to do what a man. You talk all good and everything else when you're out there with your pussy, but in here there ain't no pussy, you know. You got to take what you can get, and you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that either. Don't let nobody tell you there's something wrong. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey, that's okay. We're not here to judge, Luther, just to laugh. But Birdman, yeah. any parting words for our guests here tonight?
Not really. It's really all been quite pointless, if not funny. But I mean, enjoy the rest of your life there, Luther, in prison. Enjoy the 3 hots, a cot, and you know, get yourself a boyfriend, convert to Islam, and just to, you know, you fucked it up for yourself, dumbass. I mean, for real.
What are you talking about now? See, I told you I didn't do nothing. You understand? I got everything is all cleaned up.
Yes, and
ain't
your,
no evidence.
Your fingerprints are on that bottle of Clorox.
Ain't no fingerprints, no way. I didn't leave no fingerprints. I wipe everything down. I clean everything off. There ain't no fingerprints. There ain't no DNA. It's all bluffing. All
right,
all
I'm done with this one. Not nice.
All right, well, folks, there you have it. Our special nigger guest for tonight's episode of... No, not yet. Just, you know, just sit tight here. And hey, I'm paying for this call. It's a collect call from the prison there, so... Don't worry about it, but I gotta say goodbye to our guest, Luther. I would say thank you for being with us here on Chimp Out Radio, but well, you didn't really add anything except crappy nigger poetry. But thanks for taking some time anyway from what I'm sure is your busy day in prison and being with us. And the rest of you folks, thank you for listening to Chimp Out Radio one more time. Come around to the forum at chimpout.com and share some time with us there. And Birdman, thank you once again for joining me for another episode.
Very
well. All right. And folks, we will see you around next time on Chimp Out Radio. Goodbye.